everybody. Welcome to Android App Addicts episode 385. My name is George Dorgeek. This is the show where we try to dig, scrape, find, discover applications and bring them to everyone. Hopefully, most of, if not all of these apps are new to the listening audience. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Eric Dini Media R. Dini. How's everything going, sir?
It's going great, man. Beautiful weather. This is when Illinois feels like Florida, I guess. It actually got in the 90s. I got to get in my pool and the water was warm. It's nice.
So you have a pool in your backyard?
Yeah, I got a pool.
See, my wife's complaining to me about getting one. I don't know.
Yeah, do it.
No. In this state, I believe it's a law. We have to have some kind of fence around any kind of pool. We don't have no fence around our backyard at all, so I'm trying to stall it by saying we need to first get a fence.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a privacy fence, but it's not permanent because I do intend on moving the fence and the pool once the house comes down. But I don't have to have, because it's a soft-sided one, you know, it's like one of those Coleman ones you buy at Walmart or whatever.
Yeah.
It's good size. I mean, it's 4 foot deep by, I don't know, 16 feet around. And then I went to a sale and I bought like a $200 ladder for it for $40. One that you don't have to take the whole ladder out, because that's one of our rules. If you don't have a fence, you got to take the ladder out right. And cover it to keep little babies from walking in. So it has this ladder that you just take the ladder part, just the climbing part off, and leave the rest of it in the water. So it's kind of nice. And a solar cover on it works.
Gotcha. Well, let's see how much apps we can discover this episode here, Eric. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'm going to bring a game. This game is called Crumble Zone. Crumble Zone by Rebel Twins. And I've had this installed on my device for a while, and I don't know why I hadn't brought it sooner, but I never really played it. This is the best way to describe this is the new version of Space Invaders, only in like a circle. Instead of you being at the bottom and moving back and forth, you're in the middle of a circle protecting a planet, and all the bad guys, which are actually more like asteroids, spin around you. And they just keep coming closer and closer and closer. I don't game much. This is a game that I'm like, this is a really, really fun game. It's just challenging enough to keep your interest without being too hard that you don't want to play it no more and rage quit.
Yeah, that seems to be the most recent fad, it seems like, with a lot of games, making them so difficult that to me they're not really that fun. So I like games that, let's say, pull it back.
Yeah, there it is.
I will say this. Yes, sir. I will say that this to me, honestly, Eric, looks like a duplicate app.
Does it? Oh, man. You know, that might have been why I didn't bring it. Did you bring this?
It doesn't show. It is not showing in our listing, but I will say I swear I've seen it.
Huh. Maybe it was an email that we didn't put in the... maybe somebody emailed it to us and we read it, but we didn't put it in the list or something.
Not sure. I will say this is to me is one of those games. Simple, colorful, enjoyable, but also actually has a two player mode that I know my kids played and they actually thought it was kind of fun, but like typical kids, they can't stop fighting and arguing, you know, the whole time.
Yeah, I saw that screenshot where it showed like one on each side. So that would be fun.
Yeah, it could be. And was this free?
It was free. Yep. It does have in-app purchases, which I'm not sure if that's how you get the two-player mode, possibly.
I don't believe we did pay for it, but it is, yeah, free and E for everyone, so that's always good. Looks like one of them happy-type games with all the bright colors.
Very green.
Absolutely. Okay, what I'm going to bring... I got to bring this one. Sorry, I got to bring this game. This was on sale earlier this week. I did send out an email to the club for everyone. This game, I believe, was $1 or less. Now it's back up to $7.
Wow.
It's called The Dark Knight Rises by Gameloft. rated T for teen. This did install on my tablet and on my JXT 7800B gaming device. It's a super ridiculously touch-focused game, so the controls are basically useless. But my son, I basically let my son play it. I wanted to see how good he could play it. He had a blast. He loves this game. You're Batman third-person view, fighting, punching, kicking. You're riding the bat cycle, I guess I would say, in at least one stage. You're flying a little bit with like the bat cape, and I do believe there's at least one stage where you're in the Batmobile. So yeah, he is a big fan of this game. I will say graphically, this looks like something better than an Android game.
Yeah, it's very cinematographic.
Cinematographic.
Cinematographic, this game is.
I'll go for that.
Yeah, it looks nice. I missed that post in the club, I guess. I would have to spend $7 on it now, which I doubt I will, but.
Well, I wish Google had a wish list where when stuff went on sale, it would say, hey, this game you put on your wish list is now on sale, but I don't see anything like that. I wish it was more controller focused, but it's not. So this is not something that could be on a quote unquote Android console, but only on a phone tablet type experience.
Yeah, cool. It's a touch focus. You mean, do you have to use your touch to direct the person where you're moving, or do you just like touch on the screen and he goes there?
You touch to move a lot of times. Now you can map some of the buttons for punching and kicking, but literally half of the game you have to touch given spots on the screen at any given time, kind of thing. So you can't map them.
So it's not like it's not a virtual D-pad though.
No, it does have the aspects of that for some of the stages. So I did try to take advantage of that, but then I didn't like telling my son to go back and forth from using the controls to not using the controls to using the controls. So I just had him just using the screen, and he was pretty happy.
Yeah, that's cool. It's nice to see Game Loft and big producers in the Android world. I got another game, if we're done with that one. This one, you know, I got to bring it, Dor. It's the thing today. It came out yesterday, actually. This is Angry Birds 2 by Rovio Entertainment Limited.
How did this just come out?
I know. Hasn't there been like 50 different versions of Angry Birds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Angry Birds 2. This is not Angry Birds. Add your animated TV show or movie after the name version. This is just straight up 2. I think it's had 5 or 6 years since the original, and now they finally came out with number 2. I played through it a little while. You know, it's a lot like 1. I'll say it brings the different birds to you quicker. You know, right off the bat, you're already, you know, different kinds of birds, and it does teach you how to use the birds a little better, I guess. Now, there was some dumbing down of it, though, because there was, in the old game, you could really mess up. If you didn't know what you were doing, and you just tried to slingshot a bird into a spot that was nowhere close to where it was supposed to be, it would let you do it and just flub up. This one holds your hand, and it made it, I was like, why can't I shoot it there? Why can't I shoot it there? Why can't I shoot it there? Maybe I haven't selected a bird, but then I looked, like, yeah, there's a bird, and then I realized it's got a red. It's like my trajectory line was red, and it wasn't going to let me shoot in a bad spot.
Wow.
So I was like, that's wait. I mean, it wasn't like it was a hard game to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
And this is like on level 2. It's like, so yeah.
Well, if it had like kid mode, if it asked you when you were launching, is this a child playing it, then I could see enabling that mode.
Oh yeah.
But you gotta let people mess up.
Right. Yeah, let them learn.
I will say, it looks like the type of birds have definitely, I mean, in the beginning, I think there's only 3 birds, red, black, and yellow, I believe. They have a whole bunch more now.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, like you start out with the red one in the new game, and then you go to the blue one, and they tell you like the specialty of the bird, you know, like use this one, use this blue one for ice, you know, kind of so that, you know, and I don't remember that with the first game. I remember, you know, they would blow up in different ways, but I don't remember a specialized bird for the material you're going to smash into.
Not for the materials you smashed to. And there was no real intro to the bird. It was just, here's your bird. And it just showed you a little crappy animation, but you really had to shoot it a couple of times to figure it out. Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah. You learn.
This one has a much more, you know,
It's dumbed down. It doesn't let you learn.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, the dumbing down of games is one of those things. It makes a lot of people mad to say it, but it is utterly true. Sorry, Tim Bauermeister, but it is utterly true. It's been going on. I was aware of it, to be honest. Super Mario Brothers Wii, I believe, was the game, the first game I saw. Because what it did, Super Mario Brothers, right? Yeah. You die a lot. Why? Because it takes you a while to get good at it. This one, if you died 7 times on any level, it would ask you, do you want Luigi to show you how to get past this level? I thought, wow, that's actually kind of cool. So I said, my kids are playing. So I said, whoa, stop. Hit yes. They hit yes. And then Luigi took off from the beginning of the level, and he didn't get all the powers. He didn't get all the things, but he went through the whole level. And at the end of the level, it said, do you want this? But then it said, do you want this progress to be saved? And my kid hit yes. So it let him skip a level.
Oh, it saved Luigi's progress?
Yeah, so all he has to do, so literally my kids did nothing but go back to level 1-1, get all the extra men they could, go up as far as they could, die 7 times, get past that level, die 7 times, and they just kept doing that until they literally beat the entire game.
No, that's just a strategy. So, that sounds like just a strategy.
No. So to beat the game, they only had to beat one level. The rest of the time, they just had to have deaths. And I'm thinking, that's really truly dumbing down of games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll say I love.
I'm using you love a Rovio game.
No. The backgrounds in the game look unbelievably better, even though they're almost the same style. The backgrounds and the settings look a lot better. Like there's a lot more attention to them than the original.
It is.
Game, I will say that.
And the transitions between levels and stuff's pretty cool looking too. A lot of stuff going on in the background, it's not just a static background by any means.
Right. So what I really wonder is if we go back and look at original Angry Birds, then look at this one in a month or two or three or six, or whatever, is it going to be able to get as many or more downloads than the original? Because to me, they're not changing a whole lot. So I don't know if those original people are still on board, because it's been a while.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about this game, letting them know, because they have a grandson who's into these games, and she said, you know, her favorite's still the Angry Birds Transformers, which was a whole different game, and which was extremely fun. I think this is a little long in the tooth. I don't think there's going to be enough change here to keep people's interest, like, hey man, I'm really gonna get into this. It's about the same as every other Angry Birds, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's basically been too long, and they haven't changed enough. Okay, Eric. What I'm going to bring here next is another game that I literally discovered seconds before the show. Okay, this is a mature 17 and older. That comes with one of the things. Okay, mature 17 and over, not a kid's game. It's called Gabriel Knight: Sins of Fathers. Well, the name of it does not. Well, the name of it should immediately. Well, yeah, this is no kids game. I will just say this is the kind of game that I really hope works with the gamepad on my controller, or I'm going to be very disappointed. This is a free game in-app purchases. I really like the style of this game. It looks like one of them almost point-and-click adventure is what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful game. It says a remake done right in the video for it, though. So it's a remake of a great remaster of a great adventure game. So it must have been something.
So I,
Maybe for PC the or original, something.
So maybe the original game was Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Grandfather?
Or Sins of the Boy, son? And now it's Sins of the Father? I don't know. It's very cool looking game. It looks like a mystery, kind of. Like, you got to help solve a mystery, sort of.
Yeah, like detective, dare I say, almost.
Yeah.
I will say I almost don't understand for a game developer to make their games mature 17 and up, just because they're a certain amount of the market that just shouldn't play their game, I'll say. I hope it's for a good reason. I hope the mature content actually adds to the content in some way that they feel like it only could have been. I will say it also looks like there's some definite horror type aspects going on.
Yeah, the screenshots look a little gory, but it talks about you have to investigate a series of savage ritual killings in New Orleans and their connection to voodoo and sinister mysteries. So, yeah, there might be some dark, weird stuff you don't want kids really getting into, you know?
New Orleans. There's definitely some weird stuff going on in New Orleans. Very cool.
Yeah,
and it's free, you know. Hard to beat free.
I could bring one more, I guess. This is cool. It's not a game, though. And it is rated E for everyone, even though the name of it wouldn't let you think so. It's called Naked Shelf News.
I wouldn't think it either.
And it's a news reader, news aggregator, I guess. I like to give these a try every now and then. This one, I don't know if I'm going to let it stick around much. It seems okay. It bugs me. It gives me too many notifications that a new news article popped up, and it was a little tough getting going at the beginning as far as like adding feeds to it. But you know, I gave it a try. It's fairly new. It looks fine. I don't have a whole lot to say about it though, other than I didn't like I'm sure there's a setting I could get rid of the notifications or turn them down. I just never did.
Right. Well, my stupid question is what I really hope these kind of apps can do is at least hopefully give you a base or a default news feed involving some news streams that maybe you never heard of that might actually interest you. But that does seem like it doesn't happen too often. Did this one at least show you anything new?
Well, it showed me stuff that I'm not interested in, That's what you mean. I mean, maybe it tried and I was resistant. Could that be a thing?
I don't want to say of course, but it definitely could
be. Like, Eric, we tried so it's a British thing too. I don't think that has really anything to do with it. It wants to check, and I'm opening it up right now, and it wants to check if my contacts have any news feeds that they're interested in, which that kind of bugs me.
That's almost slimy.
Yeah, so news, I got the Washington Post, New York Times International, and LA Times National News.
Ew.
Yeah. I'm like, And I can add by a package, like I can add sports package, tech package. I can add by brands somehow. Like the New York Times, Esquire, and then I can also add my friends, and then their news feeds would come into mine. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't want to sell my friends out like that too much. So under my tech, I got Wired, Gizmodo, CO Labs, MIT, Programming, and The Gadgeteer. That could be something I've never heard of The Gadgeteer, and maybe that's something might I be. Really should know.
Right. Well, speaking of that, one of the things not in the list that people might think shouldn't be in the list is GigaOhm. Do you remember GigaOhm, Eric?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a big falling out, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently they were bought and they're actually booting back up.
Were they bought by AOL?
No. It was somebody I don't think I've ever heard of before. I mean, if it doesn't have GigaOhm in it and GigaOhm's personality, because that's what I really liked. I used to watch his show back on Revision 3, even when he had a podcast.
That's O'Malley.
O'Malley was the GigaOhm guy, but now it's folded, went under, somebody else bought it, and they're bringing it back up. But I don't think O'Malley is involved in it, so I don't know. It might take off again. It might be popular again, but I don't think so.
Yeah, the Gadgeteer talks about the Giorno folding Bluetooth keyboard review.
That could be cool.
Yeah. Station with cable management platformer that promises creative freedom. Not my bad. I'll give it some time.
Yeah. I am mildly interested in Bluetooth keyboards, and I'm even more interested in the idea of portable keyboards, because I would like to be able to have a tablet case and then a keyboard. But what I found is I bought a tablet case for my Q x 6 Air 3G Chinese tablet with a keyboard in it. I can't fold it the way it intends to be folded, because how it intends to be folded is the keyboard goes on top of the screen, and then the other part goes behind it and magnetically shuts the case. And I can't do that because the keyboard constantly goes back and forth a little bit and scratches the screen protector, at least. So I have to fold it the wrong way.
Oh.
So it doesn't like lock shut.
So this was my solution. I bought this keyboard that has a case wrapped around it.
Okay.
So then when I open it up, it does its fold thing, you know, where you do the triangle thing over and over again. And then you got then you got your Bluetooth keyboard. It's got a little extra here for that. And then you just set your tablet right here.
So you have to carry your tablet separate.
Well, the thing is, this has enough looseness that you can shove your tablet inside this case and magnet it shut, and it won't let your tablet fall out.
And your tablet doesn't slide around at all.
No, well, it hasn't slid around enough to bother me. And I put the
how big?
I put the back of the tablet against the keys and the front the glass against the case part.
How big is that keyboard? What do you say? Is it close to full size keyboard? Because it looks like
it's close. Yeah, it's close. This is a full size keyboard next to it.
Right.
It's not. I mean, it doesn't have a number pad, but it's right. Pretty close.
I don't want a number. Yeah, because mine's actually an expensive keyboard, but after I bought it, I realized it's a Apple version of the keyboard. They have Android versions of the keyboard, but I couldn't find it.
This one, I mean, this is made for an iPad. I've never used it with an iPad. I mean, it doesn't have an Apple key. It doesn't have a Windows key. It charges off of a USB. It's got a nice size battery in it. It holds a charge.
What kind of USB?
It's a micro.
Just the normal, like, phone one?
Yep.
That's a plus.
Micro USB.
I'm gonna ask if you can, Eric. Can you shoot me a link to that?
Yeah.
I'll make sure to have that link in the newsletter.
Okay. It is an iHome. You know, honestly, I got this at Radio Shack on sale for $11 on the on the clearance table one day.
You're a clearance junkie, ain't you?
That was when I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I can remember the day because I don't know if I've been to many Radio Shacks since then because they closed them all.
Gotcha. Well, true. And I will say, anyone listening, if you have a favorite tablet keyboard, do me a favor, shoot me an email at aaa@pons.com. I like to see what kind of choices that are out there. I might replace the one I have just because I don't like the idea of folding it weird, closed kind of thing. It doesn't rub me the right way. That's a horrible pun. Okay, I'm going to bring one more app here, Eric, because that was a really horrible pun. Okay, I'm going to bring this one. Yeah, I'm going to bring this one.
Bring that one.
Yeah, this was another one I got on sale. Let me open up a new window just to see how much it cost. This is Square Enix Tomb Raider. One for Man. 10 cents right now.
Wow. You're bringing the big brands tonight.
Well, this might be a big brand, but this is Tomb Raider 1, which means any child of today who tries to play this will probably be really upset.
Oh, really? I almost hit buy.
You can. It's only 10 cents.
All right, let's buy.
It's because the character movement is so blocky. Like, there's a hidden grid of where she walks, and she can't stop between that. And if you're in mid-stride, she can't turn. And when she jumps, she only jumps this far. So it's a very cube or based environment that you're in. And this is very easy to remap the controls onto the game buttons on the tablet. And because this is a game technically from, oh man, 18 years ago or something, I don't know, this ran perfect on that JDX 7800B gaming tablet.
They didn't fix none of that stuff from the...
They fixed nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, this is basically a direct port. Huh. Yeah, I mean, 10 cents. I mean, come on now. For 10 cents, do you really expect them to go back in and put a lot of time into it here?
No. No, I mean, for 10 cents. I thought it was a special sale for 10 cents or something.
Honestly, I thought it was, but I honestly think the sale's over because I don't think I paid that much for Batman.
So it's worth
this
every
10 cents.
It's worth every penny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's my cool retro game for the week, I'll say.
I'll give it a try.
All I gotta say is good luck, sir. Good luck.
Hey, I'm not having very good luck finding the link to that case that I was hyping earlier.
Oh, you're not gonna find it during the show.
Yeah. I'm just shopping. Find it later. Not really listening.
Why not? I listen to you.
No, I'm just kidding.
My wife doesn't listen to me either. That's why we got a freaking key outside.
All right, we better stop this show before the truth comes out that I shop during podcasts.
That's okay. Well, Eric, I definitely want to thank you for coming out this week. Is there anything you want to tell the people?
I don't shop during podcasts.
Okay. I don't think they believe that, Eric.
Yeah, I don't normally shop during podcasts, but Dor sent me on a mission, so I was trying to fulfill a mission during a podcast. And Wednesday we're gonna have some emails and voicemails, so I think our inboxes are about clean. So send us some questions and comments if you would please, and we'll read them or play them on the air.
That is absolutely right. And you can send your emails to aaa@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can dial 7076-PODNUT. It's the easiest way to. If you want to send us a voice file, please feel free to. I will do my best to play them on the show each and every week. I say that because sometimes I forget about voicemails. And with that, we will see everyone on the next show.